Turn to 1 Peter 2, verse 24. You're laying there in the bed. Oh, I hadn't have done that. Boy, and you're just remembering it in your mind. Oh, Jesus, I wish I hadn't have done that. I wish I hadn't have done that. Oh, I wish I hadn't have done that. Oh, God, I wish I hadn't have done that. I don't even want to remember that. Wait a minute. He bore my sins in his own body on the tree. Oh, that I, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness by whose stripes I was healed. Oh, yeah, but I know that. Get into combat right now, but don't start at the 24th verse. There's 23 verses ahead of it. And there's some tough stuff here. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile, hypocrisies, envies, all evil speakings, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted, the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, allowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Yes, very. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them that are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Whereunto also they were appointed, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar, actually the Greek says, a very special people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation or your conduct honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that may be your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Hear that? For the Lord's sake. Not for your sake, for the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now he's talking about you're going to have to get right with the government, whether you like it or not. Well, we've talked about this. I am obligated, and so are you. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and said, I beseech you, first of all, prayers, intercessions, and givings of thanks be made for all men, kings, and all that are in authority. All that are in authority. That the church might live in peace and honesty, that there's one in peace and honesty and godly. And believe that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified of in due time. So I don't care who's president. I don't care who's mayor. We must not be a voice against them, because the devil will use our voice and make a mess with it. Not for them, for me. I must not do that. And believe God all the way through. I did not like the way Lyndon Johnson prosecuted the war in Vietnam. Anybody had any military sense would know you can't run a war from Washington, D.C. And I didn't like the idea he picked a Ford dealer for Secretary of Defense. But that wasn't my business. I didn't have anything to say about it. And I heard, he was preaching then. And I was talking, and the Lord came up on the inside. The Lord said, "You know him?" I said, "No, sir." "You know anybody that knows him?" "No, sir." "Sounds to me like you don't know much." "Yes, sir." "And what did I say in my word? Did I not say pray for him? He's not a king, but he's president of the United States, whether you like it or not." All right. So I began to pray for him. And I was on the road by myself, and this is back in the day when you didn't have the kind of locks on the doors. They were actually keys. So you turned the TV up on the inside. So I walked in there, and he was on there. And so I walked around and began to undress. And all of a sudden, when I heard his voice, I had been praying for him. And all of a sudden, the love of God rose up on the inside of me for him. And I really began to pray for him. I had no idea, but God already knew that President Kennedy was about to be assassinated in Dallas, Texas, of all places, and Lyndon Johnson would be thrust into the presidency of the United States. And there it was. So this comes into play. Now let's finish this. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king or supreme, unto governors as unto them that were sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. What's happening here? We're getting rid of the care. You get rid of all that problem. Get all that out of your life. It took longer to write this than it does for you and I to read it. Or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do evil. For this is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. But what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile or deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, and when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For we were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. Now you can get healed. That's the reason so many people go straight to that verse and maybe don't receive anything because you don't take care of all this other. Amen. And all of these things all of this was prophesied. All of these things. And Jesus told Peter how he was going to die. He was crucified, upside down. My. Now that qualifies us to continue to read once we get to that place. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the manner of life of their wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, putting on apparel. Well, people have misread all of that. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. We said, the plaiting of the hair, wearing of gold, putting on apparel. Well, you better put some apparel on. No, what he's talking about are outlandish stuff that just calls attention to you the minute you walk in the room. Amen. And Gloria wears nice clothes. She does now. First time, well, I won't get into all that. But I don't have the time. But she dresses very, she doesn't dress down. She doesn't dress up. She's just good looking. And she wears her clothes well. Amen. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is great prize. Gloria has a meek and a quiet spirit about her. She was so shy when we got married, she wouldn't even say anything in public. We went to a church one time. We were about in the speaker room, and the pastor said, "Sister Gloria, would you just greet the people?" She said, "No, sir, I don't do that." So, and sure enough, his wife and Gloria were sitting right down in front and introduced me, and he said, "Sister Gloria, would you just rise and greet the people?" She stood up and said, "I told you I don't do that." And she sat down and she said, "I felt like a dog. I'll never do that again." Anyway, those days are over for good. Father, in the name of Jesus, a meek and a quiet spirit. That place of quietness that comes from thinking on these things. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, whatsoever things of virtue or moral excellence. Honest. Trustworthy. Think on these things. And continue to make our wants known by giving thanksgiving and praise. And we praise you and thank you. And we've come to that place in the Spirit, in certain places, where we don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk, which is in love. We walk in love, and we walk by faith and not by sight. For we are confident that to be home in the body is to be absent from the Lord. Knowing this one thing, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And any man that is in Christ is a new creature. And old things have passed away and all things have become new. That old nature's gone. And all things are of God. And he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. You don't become righteous by living right. The moment you were born again, you were made righteous. Now, righteous is an old English word. You just had right standing with God. That's really what that means. Amen. And here, in our day and hour, we are so blessed to live at this time. Father, we thank you. We praise you, worship you, bless you. Thank you with all of our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone online that have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, no one can promise you your next breath. But the Bible, the book itself, the book. There was a man long time ago said 100 years from now, there won't even be any Bibles, much less anybody reading them. Are you kidding me? It's still the best-selling book in the world, in every language of the world. And all the different translations now. And here we are. Just open your heart to him. And say, Jesus. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't take your own life. Give it away. Don't do that. Whomever you are, don't you dare kill yourself. That's not an end. That's just the beginning of something you don't want. That time I'd tell you something about that from an old bank robber, what he told me. Became close friends. Hallelujah. Now, give your life to Jesus, because he's already given his life for you. And just simply go to him and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come live on the inside of me. By your Spirit, take up your abode in my spirit. So that now I can, my spirit can be the temple of the living God. And he'll do it. Millions and millions and billions of people have done it before you. And they're still doing it all over the world.
My name is Diana Davis. I'm from Sacramento, California. Partnership with Kenneth Copeland Ministries What I love, it's being a part of something that's big. I saw like in the report how over 5 million people got born again. I don't come in contact with 5 million people myself. And so by me being partners with them, I get to be a part of that. I get to pray for them. I get to, you know, sow into that ministry and do things around the world that I can just stay in Sacramento, but be a part of what they're doing everywhere else. That's my favorite part. When I read those or hear those testimonies, I'm like, oh, makes me want to give more, do more. Just, they reach so many people, and that just blesses me so much. So the year my daughter was graduating high school, she really wanted to go to the Southwest Believers Convention in Texas. And so she saved up her money and everything. And so I was like, okay, we'll go. So we went for the whole week, and they started talking about, KCBC, how they were starting it up. And I said, oh, you could go to that, because she really hadn't had anything that she really wanted to do yet. So then once it, you know, came out, she applied and they accepted her, and she just was like, ah, this is where I'm going. Nothing was working out. Like, we couldn't find a place for her to live. We couldn't find a car situation. It just wasn't working out. Our pastor said, I believe you're supposed to wait a year. And so we're like, just right then, we were just like, okay, all right. We were trying to, you know, push something that nobody had peace about. And then right around January of that next year, he said, okay, the year's up. You know, what are you going to do? This is the year. Are you still going? And she's like, yeah, I'm still going. And we're like, okay. Sure enough, everything just started working out. She found two roommates that were going to be new students to live with. We went out there to buy a car, and the person that she was buying the car from said, God told me to give you this car. Someone at church offered to buy our plane tickets for her to move out there, for me to go with her and help her. Then people said, oh, I'll pay for, you know, your luggage to check in so you can bring boxes of stuff with you. You know, people gave her money. I mean, just all of that happened, and none of it was because of me. It was all because of God, how everything fell into place. And so I was like, oh, thank you, God. She loved it. She grew so much because she was in Texas, so I didn't see her every day like I did. So when we went out to visit, I mean, she was talking differently, learning so much. And at first I was a little surprised. I was like, who are you? You know, I know you're a Christian. I knew you go to church. I know how you were raised. But she just became, you know, just sharp. She was just so different, so mature, like in Christ, you know. This is amazing. This is like every parent's dream that, you know, you're here and you're learning and you're growing in this. This is so great. But she learned so much in those 2 years. It made her, and it just completely changed her and grew her up, but in the God kind of thing. I mean, that's exactly what, you know, my husband and I and our family believed. And we've read, you know, read the books, and we watched the Victory Channel. So to know that my daughter's going to go there, you know, a secular school, you don't know what's being taught to your kids or how they're being trained, and everything worked out. And so that's, you know, it's God, because when you can't do everything for your kid, but it still gets done, you're like, okay, God, I can trust you. Being far away from her, I can trust you with her education. I can trust you with, you know, the decisions that she's make. And I know now that she has a foundation that she would not have had she not gone there. And so it's totally worth it just for that.
KCBC is where I built a solid faith foundation before I started my career.
With our busy schedules, finding a college with a close community and shared values was so important to us.
And we found it here.
At KCBC, I renewed my identity in Christ. I got a second chance and found my purpose.
I discovered my calling here at KCBC.
Immerse yourself in a community of family and faith here at Kenneth Copeland Bible College. Through practical and classroom education, get equipped with what you need for your next steps in life and ministry with faith, integrity, and excellence. Get hands-on ministry and outreach opportunities, discover new gifts and talents, and learn biblical education from seasoned instructors. Kenneth Copeland Bible College is here to help you find clarity of purpose in your life and ministry. Find your purpose, discover your calling. For more information, go to kcbiblecollege.org.
Life is filled with opportunities to worry.
Safety, children, health, finances, etc. can be a cause for constant anxiety. But you can break free from the chains of worry and live in the confidence of a faith-filled heart. Introducing the Living Free From Worry Package by Kenneth Copeland, a transformative bundle designed to bring God's peace to your life. In the two-message audio series, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, discover the power of perfect peace amidst life's storms. Learn practical steps to keep your heart trouble-free and navigate into a peace that surpasses understanding. Kenneth Copeland's easy-to-read mini-book, Break the Chain of Worry, shows you how to shatter the worry habit and seize God's power, love, and discipline. Worry is the enemy's tool that is often disguised as responsibility. It steals, kills, and destroys while blinding you to God's solutions. But it's time to break free. Grab hold of the Living Free From Worry package and cast your cares on Jesus, because peace is within your reach. Faith-filled words have the power to change your life. Be sure to request your free copy of the Living Free From Worry package by Kenneth Copeland. This CD and book package will help you break the chains of worry so you can live a life of victory. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. It's always good to testify of God's provision and the goodness of His plan for our lives. When you're faced with a new season, seek God for His direction and do what Jesus said in John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. Trust in God. You need to keep worry and anxiety out of your heart and be diligent about it, especially when circumstances go crosswise with God's word and His plan. Be sure to request your free teaching series and book from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. This will help you get rid of all your cares and keep fear out of your heart and mind. Go to kcm.org to request your Living Free From Worry package today. And if you need prayer, call our prayer line. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has licensed prayer ministers in all their offices around the world who are trained in the Word of God to pray in faith with you. Write the scriptures that they pray over you, come into agreement with that word, and stand in faith for those promises to come to pass, giving God all the glory and praise. Contact us today and let us pray with you. Until next time, this is Brother Larry reminding you that God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. To learn more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith, check out our website for free content and resources available to you on kcm.org.